gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, we have those Pro Flowers $50 gift certificates.
That's right.
For the best call today, go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone, and type in Stephanie. You can email us all at the big website, stephaniemiller.com, like Eric in Ohio did with Bin Laden's bucket list has been found.
Oh?
Yeah. Who knew? That's he says breaking news, Steph. Osama Bin Laden's bucket list was discovered. See, we get all the news here first.
Yeah.
So many things he wanted to do before he died. Get tickets to the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Oh.
Oh, that is a tragedy. Because, you know, they're going fast.
Yeah.
And people are having the time of their lives. And Syracuse is coming up next, May 14th. Go to Ticketmaster.com. Check out our Facebook page at Sexy Liberal. Because we've got, I mean, Raleigh, Durham, Minneapolis, Boston, all flying out the door. That is a tragedy for him. Learn to juggle, Mary Whitney Houston, invent a bulletproof eyeball. Yeah, that's he should have gotten on that a little earlier.
Yeah. Sucks to be him.
It's almost worse than you forget to get carbonite.
Yeah.
All right, and then one quick one before we go to our esteemed guest. Mike writes, Steph, I think with Osama bin Laden being a B-52s fan, it's ironic that right now he's between a rock and a lobster. You see, he's down at the bottom of the sea, you see. All right, let's have a really important journalist on now. Richard Wolff from MSNBC, one of our very personal favorites. Good morning, Richard.
Who are you calling important? Yes. Hello, good morning.
I say he's between a rock and a lobster. It's, all right.
Are we talking about the royal wedding, right?
You did hear that Osama bin Laden was a fan of the B-52s, right?
I did not know
that.
Yes. I did not know
and
that.
Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Seriously, according to a book by one of his relatives.
Yes.
Wow, I guess that's what they picked up on his hard disk.
Yes.
Well, I mean, Richard, it's, you know, a lot of, obviously, a lot of jokes, a lot of emotion, a lot of relief, a lot of everything. But
yep.
I guess it should not be surprising that, yes, even this, the right wing is trying to spin somehow as either not the president's doing or it's George Bush's victory or, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's pathetic.
Yes.
I mean, it's just pathetic. And, we can spend some time picking it apart, but honestly, whatever we say, whatever the normal debate is that goes on in politics, it doesn't matter. Because 95% of the people in this country who don't pay attention to the news, sadly, they don't even watch MSNBC, never mind the other side, they know what this means. They know who was responsible for it. And look, we can talk about the president's role, and there's no question leadership is important. But obviously, first and foremost, the people who executed this mission and commanded it. But they know who is president now. They know who gets the credit. And maybe presidents get too much credit when things go right, and they get too much blame when things go wrong. But this is one of those moments where it actually doesn't matter what Rush says. It doesn't matter if Sarah Palin. It doesn't actually matter what Sarah Palin says if she says, "Oh, thank you, Ms. Bush," because you know what?
Wait, I love this one.
Because this is what they call at MIT a no-brainer.
Yes.
You know, this is actually funny. You should bring her up because I thought this was one of my favorite subsets of the right wing. She didn't make no mention of Obama, instead praising the military. She said, "Thank you, American men and women in uniform. You're America's finest, and we're all so proud. Thank you for fighting against terrorism." Because as you know now, Navy SEALs just make up their own plans. The military has actually no leader at this point.
Okay, so let's deal with this. Let's deal with this just on the leadership question, okay?
Yeah.
The president was given a number of different options, okay? The commander-in-chief has to choose what the options are.
Yeah.
He could have chosen the safe option, the one, you know, maybe the guy who bows to all the foreign leaders would do, which would be to just flatten the compound with 30 heavy-duty bombs and be done, okay?
Yep.
He didn't choose that. He went the risky option. He went the risky option that actually could have been like Jimmy Carter across some desert in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
and he didn't do that, and it worked. So you can say what you like about it, but this was gutsy, and it worked.
Yep.
And it really, you know, at the very least, that's a presidential decision, which means that all of this criticism, all of the tweaks, all of the, it's just, they diminish themselves. What they should be doing is trying to strike a patriotic tone. And look, the reason this is not me making stuff up. The reason people on the progressive side should recognize what's going on is because that's what the last decade looked like. Okay? It's watching the movie and seeing the other people on the other side, because this has been played out, this movie, this script has been played out against Democrats for so long. And here you watch, it's like watching, you know, Howard Dean respond to Saddam's capture and saying, well, gee, I don't know if that makes us safer or not. It just doesn't work.
Right, yeah, you can't, that was not green screen, those huge crowds in the streets waving American flags and celebrating. My favorite thing on the internet says, a picture of the president says, sorry it took so long to get you a copy of my birth certificate, I was too busy killing bin Laden.
Right, exactly. All of this stuff, you know, and this is how things change dramatically, because the whole calculus, the stakes have changed, okay? So now they're going up against a guy who is the commander-in-chief, who's unquestionably American. You cannot go out and say that this guy's weak, he gives in too much, he's hesitant.
That's right.
All those leadership questions are settled for 95% of people around the world. This guy is a tough American leader. End of discussion.
And Richard, I also think, you know, you raise an important, when you talked about, you know, that he had to, this was almost textbook in terms of that he had to choose a plan. As we all know, George Bush chose outsourcing the job at Tora Bora to someone else, and then he said this.
So I don't know where he is. Nor do I, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. I'll be honest with you.
And of course, the compare and contrast we all love is, of course, here is President Obama in the debate with John McCain.
Nobody talked about attacking Pakistan. Here's what I said, and if John wants to disagree with this, he can let me know. That if the United States has al-Qaeda, bin Laden, top-level lieutenants in our sights, and Pakistan is unable or unwilling to act, then we should take them out. Now, I think that's the right strategy. I think that's the right policy.
Yeah, bam, right?
Yeah. Okay, so there are four things he said he would do on foreign policy as a candidate. He said he'd end the war in Iraq, bring combat troops home. He said he would beef up forces in Afghanistan. He said he would get bin Laden, and he said he would improve relations with the rest of the world. He's done all four. And he's not even through year three of his presidency.
Yeah. So tell me again.
Number one, he delivered. But here's the other thing. And this is something that I think is a bit harder to swallow for folks on the progressive side. Along the way, people say, well, you know, we didn't think he would increase the kind of war we've been seeing in Afghanistan. Well, actually, he did. But along the way, he made some real reversals, which have dismayed many people on the left. He obviously did not pursue the question about interrogations and torture at the CIA. He reversed himself on that. He reversed himself clearly, or he was unable to close Guantanamo Bay. And people on the left, quite rightly, should be still sort of upset about that. Those are real reversals. But this operation was done as a result of those policy reversals. Those reversals were there to keep the CIA on board. It's unthinkable that had he pursued the agency, no matter what the morality of it, that the agency would have taken this on and executed it in the way they did.
Yep.
So that's an uncomfortable thing that the progressives have to deal with. But that's a sign of this guy's pragmatic approach.
Well, you remember,
it's morally cloudy, but it leads to these very morally uplifting and satisfying conclusions, and that's just the world we live in. There are these trade-offs.
Well, you remember, you know, the right all saying, oh, they're going to read bin Laden his rights and Miranda rights in an American courtroom, and remember Eric Holder said, we'll be reading him his Miranda rights to his corpse,
which, as it turns out,
did get his rights. He got his right to remain silent, which is...
You know what? If it was just about killing the guy, they could have flattened the whole compound.
Sure.
A, they wanted, for security reasons, A, you want to know that it's him. Mm-hmm. And B, you know, according to the people who were involved in this operation, they were prepared to take him alive if he had not resisted. So, you know, that again is a sign of American values. The idea that America just flattens things from the sky and doesn't care about the damage. They aimed to minimize civilian casualties, including the 20-odd children this guy had on the compound. That says something about America. It says something about this president.
Oh, I mean, I think it could not have been more flawless in you know, any way. I mean, so now, Richard, what are you hearing? Because obviously, you know, you always have, whether it's in the Muslim world or even here, skeptics about, you know, is this really him and blah, blah, blah. I mean, the burial at sea, but obviously that, first of all, you didn't want to have a shrine somewhere. Second of all, you know, I'm told he was given a Muslim service, correct? Islamic.
Yes, they say so. they are saying that, and I guess we respect it, but it's not a burial. They tipped his body over the side of a ship. Mm-hmm. There were no family members present. As far as we know, there are no imams on U.S. aircraft carriers. So, yes, if it makes everyone feel better that they gave him a Muslim burial, obviously there were some trappings of a Muslim funeral rites.
Mm-hmm. Well, to call it
a Muslim burial is a stretch.
Yeah.
We dumped his body over the side of a ship, and good riddance to him.
Yeah. yeah, splish splash. Now, but the way they did it, what I'm hearing, and I don't know if you've heard anything more, but it hasn't been decided yet, but there is video. There's video of this and of his body, and that probably will surface.
And, you know, to be honest, they obviously, to be serious for a minute, they gave some degree of dignity and respect to his body that he, as a mass murderer, gave to no one. So that's an important thing. It'll be a lot cleaner and more honorable image than the ones of his dead body. And I'm sure I actually would expect that those images will be released at some point, probably pretty soon. So, you know, if you're going to release the gore image, then you've got, the gory image, you've got to also release the dignified one to show that they had some respect, and that's, again, American values. I just don't think we're really going to convince just observant Muslims, never mind radical Muslims, that this was a quote-unquote Muslim burial.
But we
treated the body with dignity,
right. Richard,
and that's it.
Before you go, let's talk about real quick about what's next for us with Pakistan. A little tough to buy that they didn't know that there was a giant mansion being built in next to a military compound.
Yeah. Right next to their version of West Point.
Yes. Yeah.
A little bit hard. Now, you know, there are two schools of thought. One is that they knew, or someone knew and just chose to not tell anyone. The other one is that the Pakistani government really doesn't have any clue what's going on in its own country. Actually, both could be true. And, you know, different parts of the government have no idea. And the ones we don't talk to were the ones who chose to not ask too many questions and kind of knew what was going on. In any case, our interests in this part of the world have also changed out of all recognition. Never mind what the debate is between Republicans and Democrats. Troops are going to come out of Afghanistan on the president's timeline, which means starting in July. There was no appetite for a long-term presence before. The only reason to be engaged with Pakistan now is obviously its engagement with terrorism, which for the most part is actually directed at India, and its nuclear weapons. But this is all a regional question.
Right.
We're going to roll up another, you know, significant proportion of the 100 or 200 al-Qaeda figures just based on what information they had right there in bin Laden's mansion. This is a couple of years of engagement. And then if the Pakistanis want to have a collapsed state, given the problems we have, I don't see this president or this country having much of an appetite for it anymore.
Right. Right. Okay. Maybe it's as simple as it's the Hogan's hero, Sergeant Schultz in charge over there.
Yeah.
I see nothing.
Yeah.
To be continued. Richard,
the people would believe them, but sadly we don't.
Yeah, exactly. The book is Revival, The Struggle for Survival Inside the Obama White House. Always great to talk to you, Richard. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. There we go.
Great.
22 minutes after the hour, right back with all the latest on the Bin Laden killing on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. See, because we shot him in the eye.
You see?
See, I'm thinking over here.
In the left eye, because the president's a leftist, socialist, communist. Someone said that, right? Like, things we say as a joke probably were in the right-wing blogosphere on right-wing radio yesterday, am I right?
I'm sure Michael Savage said it yesterday.
Yeah. Good. I have the tiger. Yeah, I'm feeling macho. We're all feeling America. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that theme song to Team America World Police go around on the interwebs a lot yesterday.
All right. You know, I mentioned yesterday, and I got a little emotional. Beside the fact I'm having my own nervous breakdown, I do. I know someone who's raising a little girl who's, you know, without a father in New York. That, you know, you don't forget stuff like that. You don't forget the pain in someone's eyes. And I remember her saying, she said, you know, people say it gets better. She said it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It gets worse. I mean, it's, you know, she's a friend of a friend, so I'm not sure, you know, how she's doing now. I hope better, but you know. All right. By the way, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show is sponsored by Joseph Erickson, who's walking in the breast cancer 3-day for his mother. Please go to 3day.org, make a pledge for Joseph Erickson, help the Susan G. Komen Foundation that's saved. All right.
Yep.
All right. Oh, yeah, these are just all about stories that make me feel better. This is Bin Laden's wife.
Oh, okay.
No, I asked for a wedding.
That's right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that was in the vows. Did they say, do you, Bin Laden, take this woman to be your human shield? Do you think that was in the... they're saying she acted as a human shield in an unsuccessful bid. See, now that is commitment.
Hmm.
Although Brennan said he wasn't entirely clear whether or not Bin Laden or the son or whatever put her there or she put herself there. So there's some dispute as to what actually... But that's the other reason they're saying they identified that it was him, because she yelled his name, I guess, before. Oh. And probably that she hates his ass face. I'm just guessing.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face!
And then that was it.
Yeah.
Okay, Ozzy in Chicago, real quick. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Ozzy.
Hey, I just want to make a couple of points. Number one, I'm really happy about him being killed, and I'm proud of our president. I just want to make sure that we understand that this burial nonsense, it wasn't buried under Islamic law. Under Islamic law, if somebody dies on land...
Yeah, you know what? I'll finish this after the break with you, and then, yeah, we'll go through that. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
By text?
Me plus you equals frowny face.
Yeah, you can't call her.
I know.
Yes, there is some dispute whether Bin Laden's wife was used as a human shield or just got caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
Brent, either way, I just like somebody has had worse consequences from a romantic choice than me.
Well,
all right, what?
White House counterterrorism advisor John Brennan said that she was caught in the crossfire. However, Huffington...
No, he said she was used as a human shield.
However, a Huffington Post story names an unnamed White House official says that's not true. I'd rather go with a named official.
Not to speak ill of the dead, but she wasn't a very good human shield.
Right.
That was her...
Yeah. Especially if she survived and he didn't. You know, that kind of defeats the purpose of a human shield, doesn't it?
Why are we joking? You know what? We're just working off steam. This has been a very emotional period for America. All right. Who was I talking to here? Oh, Ozzy in Chicago. Ozzy, you were talking about burial at sea. Scholars are saying this is against Islamic rules, correct?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. The only time you can bury somebody at sea is if they actually die on a ship.
Right.
Right. Or drown.
Something like that. So I thought that was kind of because I know it's like we're all excited, but I want to kind of make, you know, the record clear, make sure that we're not exaggerating things that should, because the you know, extremists are always going to say, oh, look, they're misrepresenting this or misrepresenting
right.
that. So.
Right. Well, no, I mean, Ozzy, I think that we all get that, but I also agree with the rationale, don't you, that, we, you know, you just can't have a shrine somewhere. You can't have a burial ground where people are going to, you know, have a shrine to this guy.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, we should be accurate about how we sort of present it.
I hear you. Sorry, honey. Oh, I thought he was done. I hit that button.
Zoinks.
Doink. yeah, he was eased into the Arabian Sea. Yes, that's what they're saying. You would have to either be on a ship or drown.
Right.
Traditional procedures for Islamic burial were followed. However, the deceased body was washed and placed on a white sheet. The body was placed in a weighted bag. Has someone on the right wing said it's a Chicago-style hit yet?
I haven't heard that, no.
A military officer, just sort of imagining what. A military officer read prepared religious remarks that were translated into Arabic by a native speaker. After the words were complete, the body was placed on a prepared flatboard and eased into the sea, where it is now positioned between a rock and a lobster. I'm just saying, a B-52's,
sure.
Isn't it ironic, file? Yeah, but that's why, obviously, U.S. officials are saying they're trying to avoid a shrine situation.
Yeah, and that makes total sense.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let me go to where are we? Zach in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
This is Madtown Biochem from the chat room.
Hello.
So, I was wondering, can I be the official biochemist for the Stephanie Miller Show?
We needed one.
Please, we just had an opening.
Sweet. I work for a company, and we actually make DNA sequencers. And some guy called in yesterday and said it takes 48 hours, but we can get it done in as little as 2.
Yeah.
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 So,
no, a lot of skeptics out there, but yeah, I think the United States government probably has at its disposal
the
ability.
Best technology possible. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, honey. Thank you. Fred in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. You know, we keep hearing about America being an empire and we've got this and that. And one of the things that keeps running through my mind is the fact that we've got, you know, troops all over the world. And let's say we decide that we're going to downsize the military, get rid of our imperialism, which would be a wonderful thing. But where would these kids get a job now that the Republicans have destroyed the employment world and the big industry has moved everything to India? Part of this military, in my mind, is that's the only place they can be employed. How do we fix that?
Well,
I mean, you know, does that make any sense to you?
Well, I mean, I don't think the president has said that's the only place he plans on having people employed. I think that's the whole point of stimulus and talking about infrastructure and new energy and, you know, areas where there can be jobs. I mean, I certainly hope that the Republicans help us now get out of Afghanistan on, you know, the timetable the president would like or sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I hope, you know, because it's interesting, this whole Pakistan thing. I mean, this is what, you know, we've been saying for a while, and they're like, no, he's not here. He's not in Pakistan.
We got a little bit of a bugaboo there now, don't we?
Yeah, what was the other suspicious thing? Oh, they burned their trash instead of putting it out.
Yeah.
See, he would never have been able to hide in Los Angeles. Because you know what? If you don't use those the blue and the green and the black cans, they're all over your ass.
Oh, in San Francisco, you have a third can for compost.
See? Burn my trash. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. That's why.
And that causes smog.
Exactly.
They
would have nailed his ass years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Richard, you do not mess with the recycling police in L.A.
No.
Richard in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Good morning. I'd like to say that I'm a conservative, honorably discharged veteran, and I just don't understand why we can't recognize an honorable and respectful opposition. I think Hillary Clinton was brilliant. I think the president was phenomenal. I think that Leon Panetta is a superstar that does everything. Everywhere he goes, he seems to be exceptional in whatever he does. And everything was handled perfectly.
Yeah.
And
in
politics, when you reach out and use the word perfect, I think you have to make sure that you think about that
right.
Well, you're an honest conservative, Richard. I wish there were more of them, because I think you're absolutely right. I mean, they're just, I literally yesterday thought, how can you spin this as anything but a great thing for America?
And you know what? The Navy SEALs did a perfect job.
Yeah.
That was amazing what those guys did.
Well, I don't understand why we can't sit down and like the guest you had on was Wolf, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How he went down the list of, progressives should be okay with this, should be okay with this, should be okay with this, and not be okay with this, not be okay with this, not be okay with this. That's the way politics should be handled. I mean, anybody, I'm so glad the birther issue is over. I'm so glad that...
Yes, except now, Richard, now we have a deather issue. Now there are some people questioning whether it's Bin Laden.
It's a wacky society anywhere in the Western world. There's going to be wacky.
Only you and I can save us now.
I just wanted to call in to say, listen, this is the time where you just simply walk over, you handshake, give a strong hug to two Americans, and then at the end of the day, politics is like, okay, well, I'm sorry, this is what we'll have to settle on issues in a democracy, in a republic. And I just thought I should call
you
in.
You are saving America this morning, Richard, and I am giving you a $50 gift certificate to Pro Flowers. How about that?
Oh, that's okay. Give it to I have a good job, and I feel kind of guilty about that.
You don't want to give them to your mom?
That's so cute. Okay.
No, it's my mom's passed long ago.
Sorry.
My wife I give my wife flowers on days when it's not expected.
Okay.
Oh, look at you sneaky thing. So, all right. Thank you, Richard.
All right. Great show.
All right. Thank you, honey. Thanks for calling. What a sweetie. He's a sneaky flower giver.
Yes.
Wow. I guess he doesn't want my government to hand out. Well, fine. He's a consistent conservative, at least. All right, Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. And you didn't think that I would hear it. People hear you talking like that, getting everybody fired up. That's because there ain't no holler back, girl. Ain't no holler back,
girl. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, we are joined now by one of our personal favorites, Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington, who is on a fancy House committee. The name is escaping me, but
he's the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Congressman.
Thank you. That was very succinctly put.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, probably more about all of this than we ever will. But we were just saying. I mean, it's hard to see how this could have been. There could have been better leadership on this, or this could have been executed better.
Yeah, no, it was a great accomplishment for the president. Obviously, it's a huge victory for the country and for the world, for that matter. But I think it also is a vindication of many aspects of the president's foreign policy, aspects that he laid out when he was campaigning back as a senator.
Right.
He said Afghanistan and Pakistan were the center in the war on al-Qaeda. We had been distracted by Iraq. We need to shift our emphasis to that part of the world because that's where the threat comes from, and we need to be very aggressive about pursuing al-Qaeda. And this is a vindication of all of that. So I think it's a great, great moment, certainly for the country, but for the president, too.
Well, you know, Representative, we just played that moment from the 2008 debate, and you remember him taking heat over saying that.
Yep.
But this was, unfortunately, I mean, we'll have to talk about Pakistan here, but I mean, it seems like, unfortunately, this was the way it had to be done. We obviously didn't tell Pakistan, and this is exactly what the president said during this debate, and he did it.
Yeah, well, I think he has the exact right balance. I mean, the Republicans and Dick Cheney will always say he's not aggressive enough. He's perfectly aggressive when the situation demands it. But, you know, as the cliche goes, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. You can't have that approach either. That's why the president did the speech that he gave in Cairo. And even, you know, night before last, when he announced this, was quick to point out, you know, the importance of engagement with the Muslim world and how we need to, you know, go after the ideology more broadly, not just go after the targets. I think it's the perfect balance on policy on what we need to do here, and he's shown the strong leadership that he possesses.
I remember him phrasing it, we need a smart but tough, but, you know, foreign policy,
exactly.
And this is exactly what that looks like. I'm sorry, but, you know, the Bush administration, we got a lot of, you know, bluster and chest thumping, and we got no results. I was struck most, Representative, by Peggy Noonan, the Republican, right after this happened, saying this, people are celebrating a return of competence.
Yeah.
And I think that's right.
Yes. No, It's always been one of the president's strengths. He's taken some abuse the last couple of years, primarily because Democrats were in charge and the Republicans had no stake in it. But I think this is a great, great example to show the country and the world that this, as I've said many times in interviews the last couple of days, what this tells us, we have a commander-in-chief who knows what he's doing. And that is very reassuring, in general.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I'm sort of trying to get my mind around, what do you make of some of the Republicans crediting George Bush with this? Am I missing something?
Well, actually, it reminds me of my favorite lines from Bob Rubin when the Republicans were saying back in the 1990s that the economy was really the result of Ronald Reagan's policy,
right,
not Bill Clinton's. And, and Rubin said, heck, if you're going to credit Reagan, you may as well credit Hoover. Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about this business. You can always go back and point to, well, you know, here's what caused this, both negative and positive. But look, there's no question. The President Obama made this a top priority. He came, we're going to find bin Laden. And I've been over to Afghanistan and Pakistan several times since Obama was president. And the intel people, they were always working on it. It was always a focus. He shifted the focus, made sure this was a priority. Now, I mean, there's no question that President Obama, you know, deserves the credit for this accomplishment.
Representative Smith, I think that, you know, that's the thing, you know, we always hear the criticism, people always blame Bush, you got to move forward. Well, we have to learn from the past, don't we,
right,
if we're going to figure out what policies work and what don't. And I'm sorry, I think it is not a service to America to whitewash the fact that the worst, you know, national security failure in our history happened on Bush's watch, despite a briefing that said bin Laden determined to attack in the United States, places like the World Trade Center. That happens. Then he, you know, outsources the job at Tora Bora. Then he goes into the wrong country, you know, and now President Obama, as you say, has finally completed the job that he promised to do during the campaign. And yet they're still trying to spin this.
Yeah, well, some are, but it was interesting. I actually, you know, for one of the few times in my life, I made a point of watching Fox News when this announcement came out, just to see what they had to say. And by and large, you know, they were giving credit.
Even Hannity and O'Reilly were giving credit. I was surprised.
So, you know, I mean, it's hard to move away from. But look, we really have to also, I mean, thinking about this in terms of the interests of the country, it's always tough for a president to get the confidence of the military. And, you know, it's a hard thing to equate. You know, one is that moment when the military and the country believes in their commander-in-chief. But this is that moment for the president, and that has huge implications for his policies going forward.
Representative Smith, do you obviously, you know, headlines this morning, fears of Al Qaeda vengeance, and that sort of thing. Because obviously we've put out warnings, you know, as we would when an event like this occurs.
Right.
What is your take on that?
Well, my take on this, look, do you think 3 days ago these guys weren't trying to hit us?
Yeah.
Do you think
they
suddenly woke up after this and said, oh gosh, we've been napping for a while here, I guess we'll get back to work? Look, I mean, Al Qaeda, in all of its different forms, is determined to try to hit targets in the West. We've done a very successful job of thwarting them, and we're going to have to keep at it. But I don't think it's any more likely now than it was before. You know, I think we have to be, you know, our national security apparatus has to be vigilant. And I'll tell you this much, in the very near term and in the long term, the fact that bin Laden is dead undermines Al-Qaeda's ability to carry out those attacks, because the confidence of this organization has got to be shaken to its core this morning.
Yeah.
They don't know what we know.
Yeah.
And that's going to, I think, make us safer, not the other way around.
Yeah, I liked, even Hillary Clinton was getting a little macho, which I loved. She was like, this is a message to the Taliban. You're next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's something to think about. My staff and I were talking this morning. Can you imagine what the press conference, when this announcement was made, if it had been when George Bush was president?
Yeah.
What he would have said when he walked out there. I think there's definitely a Saturday Night Live skit in that.
But,
I thought President Obama was, you know, very well measured and said it the way it should have been said.
Yep. Well, now, I'm hearing that, you know, there's no fresh intelligence necessarily suggesting, you know, U.S. or other Western interests are being targeted, as you say, any more than necessarily than usual. But, you know, it's hard to tell how it's playing. You know, I've also read a lot of these upheavals, you know, the democracy,
right,
you know, in the Middle East are, you know, saying that the news of his death has less significance than it might have at one time, you know, outside of Hamas or whatever.
Right. I think it does have less significance, in part because, you know, the movement in the Arab and Muslim world has sort of, it's moved past bin Laden and al-Qaeda. It's moved past simple anger at, you know, perceived Western influences and the problems that it causes to, we want freedom, we want opportunity, and they're fighting that, which is, of course, something that al-Qaeda has never stood for.
Yeah.
So to some degree, the events in that part of the world are moving past the idea. But that's, and that's really good. It drives home the point with bin Laden not just being taken out, but he was hiding out in this million-dollar mansion for 5 years. This was hardly, you know, the guy fighting the good fight out in a cave somewhere. It sort of points out, you know, once again, one of the many fallacies in al-Qaeda's basic ideology, and I think that's, it's going to hurt their ability to recruit, and that's all good on the broader effort to not just defeat the organization, but defeat the ideology.
Congressman, quick before you go, I've asked, you know, a couple people already this question, but how do we move forward in terms of Pakistan? As you say, mighty
right.
suspicious that a million-dollar mansion right. sprouted up in the middle of a military compound that they knew nothing about, right?
Look, I'd give a similar answer to the question of whether or not we're at, you know, greater threat from retaliatory strikes. Pakistan is a critical, critical relationship and a very problematic one. And that's true today, and it was true 3 days ago. We have to work very hard. We need the relationship. You know, a lot of people say, well, we have to tell them we're not going to give them any more money, we're not going to work with them because they didn't do this, that, and the other thing. Look, they are in a very threatened part of the world. They have a government that is far from stable, and if it were to fall to Taliban-like elements with nuclear weapons and all that implies, you know, we have to be engaged and involved in that region. Unfortunately,
yeah.
they don't trust us, we don't trust them, and it's going to take a long time to fix this. I don't think this
well,
incident changes that equation.
Except this will literally be the shot heard around the world, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we got to stay in there, we got to stay engaged, but obviously there's trust issues, and this, I think, points out the fact that we should not in any way, shape, matter, or form blindly trust them, but we got to work with them.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Adam Smith, the great state of Washington, thank you so much. Always grateful for your time.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All
Appreciate
right.
the chance.
All right. There he is.
Ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee.
How much, here's what I loved. How much did that piss the Taliban off?
What?
I just, hang on a second. Oh, it's a woman in a pantsuit threatening us. Yeah, next.
Did you see the picture of her watching the events
yeah.
in the Situation Room? She was like, you know, almost clutching her pearls, literally.
Clutch the pearls?
Yes. but, I mean, the tension on those
yeah.
people's faces
oh,
as they watch
say,
it going down. Holy cow.
Yeah, I am. I'm getting my America off today because it's... Yeah, I mean, those just those pictures of the situation.
Yeah.
Remember how we used to joke about Bush's macho-named, what do you call it, military things?
Yeah.
Yeah, that we're just sounded macho when we're completely incompetent and accomplish nothing.
Right.
This really is American Commando Eagle.
Whatever.
Whatever. Something. What the heck was this thing named? Because this was cool. This is like a Mission Impossible film or something. It was. Here, I'll go through the. Yeah. Operation. Something. Clutch the pearls. No,
did,
something.
Did
See,
this
we don't have to have macho names for our operations because they're effective. And they work, and so you don't have to have macho bluster.
Hmm.
We could have called it anything.
Sure.
We'll spitball that later.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you can give me
that.
Step by step, how the U.S. killed bin Laden. First of all, he had a plan soon after coming to office. He said, you see, any parent listening now will say you can't really accomplish something unless you plan to do it. See, George Bush didn't really think about it, didn't spend much time on him.
No.
So he accomplished, you see, nothing in that area. The president actually made it clear killing or capturing bin Laden one of his highest national priorities. He said, we will kill bin Laden, we will crush al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Anything.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, you have to have an intention and a plan or you're not going to accomplish anything. See, I don't even have kids and I know that. All right, we will give you all the details. It really is like Operation Commando Eagle meets Mission Impossible, but it's awesome.
Awesome.
All right. We'll be back with all of that. David Schuster and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
mention yet that Navy SEALs rock? I don't think I have. See, Katie, what happens when Navy SEALs do indeed rock?
Yep.
But when they're sent to the right country with the right plan, see what happens there? Then, look how they rock it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Rock the free world. Okay. Point of order. StephanieMiller.com, the website. I'm just really getting my macho on this morning. I'm
done. You are.
Operation Geronimo. Geronimo. We've ID Geronimo. I swear to God, I think I've just grown up reading all this. This is really very macho and exciting. All right. Mark in Madison writes, Steph, just read a bunch of Facebook posts from some right-wing Tea Partiers I went to high school with. They're questioning the validity of his death. Yep. I think we just witnessed the birth of the deather movement.
Yes, we have.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. God.
Carl at Olympia writes, Obama just accomplished in a little over 2 years what codpiece stuffing mission accomplished Peacock, George W. Bush, and all of his lying, warmongering, blobiating GOP neocon buddies failed to accomplish in 7 years. Carl in Olympia. Jeff in LaClaire, Iowa writes, hey, Steph, remember when John Boehner was crying about that in that sound clip when he said this should be at the top of our list?
Yes. I think it's the top of our list. Is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
Ah, as it turns out, it was at the top of the president's list.
Yes.
Why? Now,
why didn't he tell me about it? I can't I'm saying this.
Is this serious enough for you, Boehner? Have we gotten serious enough about Bin Laden for you? All right. I'm just saying, compare and contrast the president, Shaft, and there's John Boehner. Okay. All right.
I haven't really heard hide nor hair from John Boehner.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
He faded into the orange.
I think he cried his bronzer off at Barfi's Bar and Grill the other night.
No, I had nothing to do with it.
All right. We are joined now by journalist extraordinaire David Schuster, whom we love. Good morning, David Schuster.
Love you right back, Stephanie. Great to be with you as always.
Me love you long time. I would listen. I'd be a human shield for you if it was necessary.
Well, we got to work on that someday.
See, now that's a new level of commitment people are going to be asking for. But would you be a human shield for me?
Yeah. I would be a human shield for you, and I would, of course, I would even go to sea with you, Stephanie.
Oh boy. So, David Schuster, what's your take on all this? I mean, you really think? You know, oh, no, the right wing, they can't really spin this, can they? And you're like, oh, my God, yes, they can. We are already in just some sort of upside-down world, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there are elements in the right wing who, no matter what the president does, no matter what he releases, they're always going to say, oh, no, that was doctored photographs, or that DNA wasn't really a match, or how do we know for sure that that body being dumped in the sea is Bin Laden? Because look at the sheet. That's not a white... I mean, they'll come up with some crazy, 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 crazy reason why not to believe it. And that's always going to be the case. I think where my concern, and I think the administration gets this as well on this one, is that you don't want the sort of the crazy right wing to start to seep towards any part of sort of the moderate right wing or even towards the center. And so, for example, when you have some 9/11 victims' families saying that they're no longer sure why the administration hasn't released photos yet or why they did the burial at sea, I think at that point it's now incumbent, and I think the administration gets it, to go ahead, release the photos, as gruesome as they may be, release the video. Certainly there's all sorts of radio transmissions between the Navy SEALs and the CIA that they're recordings of. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, there's some people who are theorizing that, look, the reason they're not doing this, and, you know, the White House just had to say that, no, Bin Laden was not armed, he was not using somebody as a human shield. I don't think the American people care whether Bin Laden was captured alive or whether he was given a lead sandwich that night. The American people don't care, and I think the White House ought to just say, look, here's what we did. It was up to the Navy SEALs. They determined that for their own safety they needed to shoot the guy. I think the American people would be fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you read how this whole thing went down. I mean, it just is stunning. You know, I'm reading options were limited. The compound, obviously, in a residential neighborhood, which they just didn't see there. If he had ordered an airstrike and Bin Laden was not in the compound, it would have been a huge diplomatic problem. Even if Obama was right, obliterating the compound would make it nearly impossible to confirm Bin Laden's death. So, as you know, Brennan said the president had to evaluate the strength of that information and made what I believe is one of the gutsiest calls of any president in recent memory. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, I think it was gutsy, and I think especially when you have people in the president's inner circle who are advising against this for all sorts of reasons about, you know, equipment failures, or it could turn into a Black Hawk Down like what happened in Somalia. I mean, you know, it was a very risky decision for the president to make. Having said that, even if the somebody was arguing to the president, look, there's no way we're going to be able to get him alive, and if that's the mission, I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that. I think the president still, I mean, I think it was obviously, I thought it was a brilliant decision. It was well handled. It relied on lots of intelligence that had been painstakingly gathered for literally for several years. And I just think that I wish the White House, and I think they're going to get it. I mean, even if the original goal, and nobody wants to say it was, no, we wanted to try to get him alive. So what that the guy was killed? I mean, just, you know, the Navy SEALs, I think any American who has even sort of a rational cell in their brain is going to say, let's defer to the Navy SEALs. They're on the ground. They're going down the ropes. They're storming that house. If they determine that they're, you know, that Bin Laden needs to be shot on the scene, fine. We're all better for it. And I just think that at some point, I'm hoping that the White House will release every detail about that.
Yeah, I mean, it is fascinating. What, you know, you sort of allude to is, I think there's a piece in Time magazine about, you know, all of those moments in the Situation Room. And you're right. This is what leadership looks like. It was literally divided about 50-50, right, as to how to you know, about half senior aide supported the helicopter assault. The other half said either wait or strike from above. Obama is normal. You know, they say left without signaling his intent. He wanted to sleep on it. I mean, you know, this is exactly the kind of calm, reasoned leadership that we voted for.
Exactly. And the idea that, you know, here's a guy who thinks things through, who's maybe sometimes cerebral to a fault, but who's not gonna sort of lead from the gut and just sort of make snap decisions. And so you can imagine, you know, look, if it was a John McCain that was sitting in the White House, how sort of irrational that might have been, and how things would be different. And so it's just, yeah, I mean, I think this is exactly the sort of leadership the American people want. I think it would behoove the White House, though, right now, and I'm looking at this now from pure political reasons. The White House is going to ground zero 9/11. Great political move. The president, you know, deserves all the political accolades and bump that he can get out of this. And I think the way you do that, you keep feeding the story, and, you know, whether it's today you release the video, you release the video tomorrow, right, and you string this out, and you basically say to the Republicans, okay, you want to say that I'm weak on national security, I'm weak on foreign policy, well, take this. Here's the bullet-ridden corpse, and here's the body being dumped into the sea, and here's the communications between the CIA and our brave Navy SEALs who are carrying out this operation.
Yep. I mean, it really is extraordinary. You know, obviously, you've seen it all over TV. We've already played it this morning. You know, that moment in the debate with John McCain when he said, this is exactly what I'm going to do. If Pakistan is not going to help or whatever, then we are not going, you know, we're going in. And we're going to, I mean, he literally said, we will kill Osama bin Laden, we will crush al-Qaeda. And as I was saying, I was struck by it being Peggy Noonan that said this marked the return to competence. I mean, I think that's, you know, how you can spin this in any way, shape, or form to be George Bush's victory, who didn't get it done.
Well, George Bush also, he stopped the funding and the agency that was tasked specifically for hunting bin Laden. He stopped that. Bush himself said it's no longer a priority. And even if this is what I don't get about the Republicans. I mean, there's some Republicans, fine, they're saying we're making sense and saying, yeah, no, President Obama deserves credit. Then there's this whole group that says, oh, well, he was just following what George W. Bush did. No, he's not.
Yeah.
Bush dropped the ball. And secondly, if that's your argument, then you have to argue, no, what Bush was doing was following what Bill Clinton did, because Bill Clinton actually did take a shot at bin Laden at the end of his presidency. George W. Bush did not. He outsourced, when they had bin Laden dead to rights at Tora Bora, Donald Rumsfeld outsourced that operation to local Pakistanis and Afghans, and they let him get away instead of sending in U.S. Army Rangers.
Let's face it. It was incompetence that 9/11 happened on their watch, and it was incompetence that they didn't get him. And you know, I love, you know, this is how to kill people. The headline this morning in Politico, Obama is now warrior-in-chief. Make no mistake, the U.S. is now the gang that can shoot straight. I think that's a lot of what the street celebrations were about the other night. They write, our reputation for being able to carry out successful military missions had been some doubt after George Bush stood on a ridiculous mission accomplished banner during the Iraq War, a mission he did not accomplish in a war he did not win. But President Obama managed to kill Osama bin Laden on Sunday using a small special operations force, and so doing sent a clear message to terrorists everywhere, you're next.
And you know, it's such a great point, Stephanie, you make about the celebrations, because I think a lot of people sort of been misreading the celebrations as some sort of, you know, like we just won the Super Bowl. I don't think that's it. I think it is absolutely people feel like, you know what, you know, we were able to carry out the successful raid. The commander-in-chief made the right decision. It was executed perfectly, and we got the guy. I don't think people are taking great joy over what the last 10 years have been, or the fact that Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda really suckered the United States into reacting with fear and making some really bad decisions during the Bush administration about how we would deal with post 9/11. I don't think anybody's celebrating that. I think people are celebrating the fact that there are, you know, members of the intelligence community and military who have dedicated their lives towards this very sort of chapter trying to get bin Laden. To everybody, I mean, you know, there were only 40 Navy SEALs who were part of this mission on Sunday night, but I guarantee there were thousands of Americans who have dedicated their lives to this mission, whose hands and heart and soul were right there with those guys on Sunday night, and I think for that, everybody can be very proud.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. This is exactly what Politico story goes on to say. We've seen Obama be professor-in-chief. You know, we've heard that. Oh, too professorial. The orator-in-chief, now he's the warrior-in-chief. We should not get crazed with bloodlust. We should always be, war should always be our last choice, not our first, but bin Laden had it coming, and he got it twice in the head. You know, so it's, I think that, you know, we all have a little diehard in us when it's somebody that deserves it, right? Or I think we all yelled, yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Well, and yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, for the families of, for everybody who was affected over the last 10 years, I think all of us were right there when that final shot was placed in bin Laden's head, and the look on his face, I think all of us would take some sort of, I don't know, schadenfreude over bin Laden's suffering at that moment, and I think, you know, a lot of us will regret that he couldn't suffer more.
David, by the way, I was going to say, so, I'm told, like, we'll probably never know who these people were, the Navy SEAL team. I'm wondering, can they say anything? I'm like, how'd you like to be the guy? Oh, Grandpa, tell that story again. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if they can ever say anything.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we'll ever know. I mean, I think we know, obviously we know which unit, and we may, you know, some stories may sort of seep out, but as far as who actually, I mean, there'll be a very small group of people in that particular unit, and the after-action reports, and when they sort of go through all the sort of audio tapes and videotapes and sort of account for the rounds and where they were fired and all that, I mean, they'll know. You know, there have been missions that the Navy SEALs have been carrying out for the last 30 years that many Americans will never know about, and I think, you know, that's just part of the tradition, and that's, you know, that's what if they sign up for. They don't sign up for the glory. They just sign up for getting the mission done.
Yeah, but what a barroom story not to be able to tell. I beat this guy up the other day that looked at my wife. Yeah, well, I shot bin Laden in the eye.
Yep, I was the one who broke down the door and gave the guy the leg sandwich that he deserved.
David
now
Schuster.
Buy me a beer.
Yeah.
David Schuster. I think we'd all like to buy him a beer. David Schuster, journalist extraordinaire. Thanks so much for taking
Stephanie,
time, honey.
Always a pleasure. You guys have a great week.
You too, honey. There he goes. Stop that.
Sorry, I was late. I had to fire my human bodyguard.
Human shield?
Shield. Yeah, she was really falling down on the job.
Hey! Ladies
and gentlemen. Down. You see. The job. You see.
Down.
Hey,
down.
Did you hear that, Jim, that bin Laden is between a rock and a lobster?
Yeah.
He went down.
Down.
Down. Down. The sea. Ironic, because he's a thief of the
There goes a narwhal.
Okay.
There goes a bikini wave.
He's dancing this mess around one last time at the bottom of the
sea. That's right.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
There goes a dead terrorist. Ow. Hey, the ceremony was like 50 minutes. They had dishes to pass after. Just asking. I don't. Okay. 25.
What, like a casserole?
Was there hot dishes? 25 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, and they served pork.
Yeah, oh.
Jim, please, Lord. Jim agrees with me that he would never have been able to hide here in L.A. because the recycling police would have got him. Burning garbage!
Mr. Bin Laden, you're under arrest for burning garbage. Oh, yeah, we didn't know all of the thousands of people you murdered, but you put garbage in your blue recycling container! You bastard! How dare you? That deserves a double tap.
Yeah, that's, you get a double tap in L.A. Burning garbage. We're environmentalists out here.
Sprinklers run on the wrong day.
We don't care about the other stuff.
Well, this time of year, you're bound to light the hillsides on fire if you start burning your garbage.
I love the, what you call it, phone call by a Kuwaiti courier led to Bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
It's that call you know you should have screened. Oops.
What can Brown do for you?
Yeah.
Why did I pick that up, though? One of Bin Laden's
I should let the machine get it. What was I thinking?
One of Bin Laden's most trusted aides, as it turns out.
Not so
not as smart as,
yeah.
as trustworthy. Picked up the phone last year. He unknowingly led U.S. pursuers to the doorstep of Bin Laden.
Sorry, yeah. My bad.
Oops, my bad. The monitored phone call ended a years-long search for his personal courier, a key break in the worldwide manhunt. The courier, in turn, led U.S. intelligence
Dr.
to the...
Dr. Courier.
The...
Dr. Furrier.
Yeah, Furrier.
Oh, horror.
Yeah, I love that it said Bin Laden was famously insistent that no phones or computers be used near him, but in the middle of the last year, this guy had a telephone conversation with somebody monitored by U.S. intelligence.
All right, who got the smartphone?
It's okay. Bin Laden is so anal about this, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yes. Go ahead. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me Somebody now? Forgot to turn off their location tracking on their iPhone.
Who has been playing Angry Birds? You have not seen Angry yet.
Oh, he's so anal. What could possibly go wrong? Go ahead.
Okay. By the way, point of order.
What?
Fun fact.
Oh.
Whoever led him to this guy, he did not discuss the courier while being subjected to waterboarding. According to officials, he acknowledged knowing him many months later under standard interrogation.
Mm.
For all the people going, don't you mind? I gotta talk to people more.
No, the FBI is really good at this stuff.
Yeah.
The torturers, not so much.
As the FBI is wont to be.
Yes. Or much like we didn't get, we got all of this information from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed before they waterboarded him 7,000 right. times.
They got bad information when they waterboarded
him.
Yes, exactly. Oh,
because that's when they'll say anything
right.
to get you to stop waterboarding them.
Yes. All right. This just in. Jim, we have a request, I think.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Dear sirs and or madam, I am contacting you in regards to the advertised tea party in Stephanie's panties. Has the fire marshal determined the safe occupancy limit for Steffi's undergarments?
And there's
so,
no limit.
What is that limit? We just want everyone to have a good time and no bad apples to spoil it for everybody. Thank you. P.S. Is there handicapped access?
Yes. Yes. Unlimited access and handicapped access.
Aww.
Thank you. Why, thank you for asking.
I've never felt the ramp, you know, when I'm...
Really?
Your butt, you know,
you got a ramp in your butt?
Yeah, because, well, handicap access. You
well, like, I have that step for my dogs to get in my bed easier.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I have a little...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that for, it's like, really old arthritic dogs?
Yes. But I, well, and also...
Or very large
or
dogs.
Really lonely spinsters that really want their dogs to snuggle in bed with them.
Your dogs are as tall as your bed. Why do you need steps to get up and...
Because it's easier for Max and Fred.
They're lazy. That's it. No, they're lazy.
All right, we'll be back with the really cool Aquiva ID, Geronimo. How cool is that? The whole situation room thing. And then we'll have a situation with Charlie Pierce after that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
President Clinton.
Out of the question.
Stephanie Miller.
Will never accept his help. She can't forgive him for not hitting on her during the 1996 Democratic Convention.
She's much too thin.
The death of Bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All right. What was I going to say? I don't know. I lost my train of thought. All right. Who are you? 1-800-STEP-12
phone
number.
Here? Who are you?
1-800-STEP-12.
Yeah,
those were Bin Laden's last words.
Who are you?
What are you doing here? I ordered the pizza. What the?
What? What?
What?
What'd I say?
When I said I wanted a double tap, I was talking about beer.
Okay. All right. I dare you to shoot me in the eye. 1-800... Oh. What? All right.
Ew.
Oh, by the way, this just in, Jim. Yes, John Boner did thank George Bush for this mission.
Yeah. Although he did
this
thank
actually,
Obama first.
Yes. Although, this actually was kind of at the bottom of George Bush's list. It was the top of President Obama's list.
I don't care where he is. I just don't think about him too much.
Join the park.
Okay.
So I don't know where he is. Mm. Nor do I, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. And let me be honest with you, I'm...
It was at the bottom of my list that I barbecued along with the memo, the Presidential Daily Briefing, which warned me that Obama Osama was determined to attack in the U.S.
I have some fun facts about the Bin Laden compound in Pakistan.
Oh, you do? Please do tell.
The compound in Abbottabad.
Abbottabad.
That's just fun to say. Hal Sparks tweeted yesterday, what next, Costello stand?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Uh-huh. Anyway, it was once used as a safe house by Pakistan's ISI intelligence agency.
Really?
This area has been used as ISI's safe house. It's not under their use anymore, clearly, because they keep on changing the locations. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it's right down the street from the Pakistani military academy. So, yeah, we've got some...
they got some splaining to do, Brennan said.
Some frank talks with the ISI.
I got some splaining to do, Pakistan. That's what he said. Yeah. He said they have some explaining to do. All right, as does Charlie Pierce.
There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
We've argued, Geronimo. I just can't stop doing it, Charlie. I'm sorry.
America, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's strong words.
I still think the biggest story was Stephanie going to Barbara Streisand's house this weekend.
Yes. No, not Barbara Streisand's house.
It wasn't her house?
I know.
Was it her tool shed?
It was Rob Reiner's house.
The big story yesterday is I waited an hour and 45 minutes to tell that story. That's how much I love my country.
It was Rob Reiner's compound.
I love the concept of Stephanie as the little abandoned Chinese girl baby of the Reiner family.
They feel sorry for me. That's the only time I get out of my house is when they invite me.
They have to go to like Guangzhou to like get her. They have to go to like Mission Viejo and look for the little girl, you know, testing the Boone's Farm bottles in the trash to see if there's any left. Oh boy, backwash!
Yeah,
I am not. I should not be allowed out. I turned around to David Bender, who was with me, and I went, it's Barbara Streisand!
Oh my God!
What did you do?
Hit Bender over the head and make him go? I'm going to the Reiner's house again, Dave. Let's go.
Here we go. All right. Charlie Pierce. So,
that's the end of my prepared material, by
the way. Okay. Thank you. Good night,
just
everybody.
I'll
just take questions.
I'll just do Q&A.
I'll take a few questions now, and then the 1910 Fruit Gum Company will be on.
Well, you know, as you know, you and I have an occasional spat about the president. It's hard to really spin this as anything but an incredible victory.
Oh, but they're out there trying, aren't
they?
Yes, indeed.
You got to give some of them credit because the reflex is automatic.
The guy
you've been looking for 10 years is dead because the president ordered him to be made dead. And yet there's something wrong here.
No. According to Sarah Palin, Navy SEALs, kind of an improv group, really. They just...
Under no one's command.
I got a barn. Let's put on a show.
I've got a barn. My Uncle Goober has some automatic weapons. Let's make a special ops unit. Aunt Wendy can sew the costume. I'm right here in the barn. 8 man sight, Lloyd.
You know
my favorite character in this whole thing is, though? The accidental tourist tweeter guy.
Who's that?
The IT specialist from Pakistan who was up in the mountains looking around and all of a sudden all these helicopters showed up.
Right, and he accidentally tweeted that there was something going on.
Something seems to be going on. These don't look like the Pakistani helicopters.
Yeah.
Wow, look at this.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing, this whole thing. They were talking about this whole thing in the Situation Room, and any leak, of course, would have ruined the entire mission. I mean, that all this stuff was going on, particularly while he was face-planting Donald Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, is even more hilarious now.
Well, I mean, the historical ironies get deeper and deeper. The idea that they had to cut in on Celebrity Apprentice to, like, deliver the news, how great is that?
And did you see who was the first person to tweet what the president was going to be talking about?
No.
The Rock. Seriously.
Huh?
Yeah, The Rock was one of the first people to tweet who what this was going to be about.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're trying to get to the bottom of how he knew.
I'm still not convinced
that... Well, they shouldn't have appointed him to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I mean,
that's probably a mistake.
You know, I think, unless he learned from Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory.
There you go.
And you would have picked Hulk Hogan, who the president used his theme on Saturday
That's right.
night. Yeah. Carl Levin, Senator Levin, take a listen to this, Charles.
Well, I think that the Pakistani army and intelligence have a lot of questions to answer.
I'm explaining.
That's what I said.
Given the location, the length of time, and the apparent fact that this facility was actually built for Bin Laden.
Yeah, that's curious, isn't it, Charlie?
the idea that you could build the guy a McMansion and nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here in L.A., no one would notice.
Except
but
its resale value is way down.
Yeah.
No phone or internet? What are you, kidding me?
And that looked like a crappy mansion for a $1 million mansion in
crappy
Pakistan.
Crappy for a McMansion.
Yeah.
They must have hired some American construction firm to build it.
Yeah, it's very messy,
Blackwater.
That Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Very messy, a lot of trash.
What a real estate development. Yeah. times are hard now.
I love this. What do you call it? A Pakistani source said the operation to hunt and kill Bin Laden was run jointly by Pakistan and the United States.
Uh-huh. Sure.
That's right. You guys were doing the killing, and we were smoking a joint.
That was a good one, Charlie Pierce.
Yeah, that was not my prepared material, by the way.
He said it was a joint intelligence operation.
I'm still
operation.
Not convinced that it wasn't Gary Busey they dumped off the ship.
A senior U.S. official said we shared our intelligence on this Bin Laden compound with no other country, including Pakistan. That
especially
was from what
especially they already
Pakistan.
Knew.
Yeah.
So what's any point in telling them?
They said, in fact, only a very small group of people inside our own government knew of this operation in advance. What happens next, though, with Pakistan, Charlie? Because they were, what they were saying is at the same time the U.S. and Pakistan have moved closer together in their views about the need for a political rather than a military solution in Afghanistan, which heartens me. Any way for us to get out of there seems.
Well,
like...
here, let me put down my prepared humorous material and pick up my prepared geopolitical material.
Thank you. Oh, okay, thwack. All right.
No. I mean, I think the question of what happens next is general in this event. With all due respect, and I'm glad the guy's gone. It took us, more than twice as long to kill one guy as it did to defeat Nazi Germany and the Empire of Japan. And now what? I mean, are we safer? I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot they can do with Pakistan because they don't want to destabilize nuclear power in the middle of that place.
Yeah,
right. Well, I don't think anybody is going to say terrorism is over, but I do think you have to say you cut the snake's head off.
I think that particular organization is over, but I think that particular organization's been over for some time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the infrastructure has been gone.
How much?
I'm wondering if it doesn't have something to do with the general kind of thing that's sweeping across the Arab world right now. All these people who would, I'm looking at you, Saudi royal family, who's been financing this guy, are looking at their own people becoming restive and saying, hey, we don't need a lone wolf free agent floating around out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm repeating what the voices in my head are telling me.
Speaking of voices, how much do we love that we have this on tape from the 2008 campaign?
Nobody talked about attacking Pakistan. Here's what I said, and if John wants to disagree with this, he can let me know. That if the United States has al-Qaeda, Bin Laden, top-level lieutenants in our sights, and Pakistan is unable or unwilling to act, then we should take them out. Now, I think that's the right strategy. I think that's the right policy.
Sure
the president... you will, Barry. Pretty tough talk from a college professor.
Oh, boy. I wouldn't have wanted to be Cindy McCain when this news came across.
Yeah.
Tough talk from that one right there.
Right. That one. That one.
You remember the one thing that came out of that debate mocking is the way he pronounced Pakistan.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
that was all they talked about for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, who's
Pakistan.
Laughing now?
Well, I think he pronounces shot dead pretty well.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, was anybody besides me a little bit unnerved by the celebrations, though?
I was not. I was in New York for 9/11, and I guess as I've said, I mean, I guess we all were one removed, and I know a little girl growing up without a father, and I was not unnerved. I thought it was.
I was about to say the Ground Zero one I could understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the drunken Georgetown College kids outside the White House.
Yeah,
the boobs might have been a little much.
The people in Kenmore Square, in Boston, okay.
Yeah, they're celebrating the idea that they didn't have to go
anything they
want
to do at Ground Zero is fine by me.
I think, like Peggy Noonan said, and I keep, because I'm struck that it was Peggy Noonan said, I think they're celebrating a return to competence. And that's what I think, you know.
Would have been nice if she'd written that in 2003.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
thanks for nothing.
Like, you know, maybe can we please have a return to confidence, please, now?
Yeah, I know, exactly. But
you know, it was funny. I walked along. There's a walk along Boston Harbor, not far from the newspaper where I work, that you walk around the University of Massachusetts Boston campus all the way to the Kennedy Library and then back again. And there are, you know, three or four benches there on the UMass campus are dedicated to UMass grads who have died in either Iraq or Afghanistan since 2002. Mm. And I was thinking to myself, you know, how am I supposed to feel about them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was the way I felt, and I know it's not in any way analogous. I remember being in college when the Vietnam War ended, and it just sort of ended. You know, there was an announcement, and people just sort of took a deep breath and
this
went on with their
lives. This is just something that people, I think, have been waiting for so long, though, in terms of, you know, just a sense of justice. And, you know, I mean, look at what we've been through, Charlie. I mean, not only did, you know, George Bush not, you know, fail to get him, but took us in an entirely unnecessary and, you know, just disastrous war. So I think that the fact this is so long in coming.
No,
and
I think we're entitled to celebrate, you know, or wish for closure, that awful word, for the families now that this guy is dead. But ever since those events on 9/11, we did an awful lot of this stuff to ourselves, including reelecting the dunce who you know, brought us down the wrong path. So I don't know that you atone for all of that by killing this guy. If it does bring some peace to the families, well, then God bless it. And certainly, I mean, the feat of arms is really remarkable.
But the one thing that,
because I'm old enough to remember what happened when Carter sent the helicopters to the desert.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. You know, Charlie, the important thing is I have just finished up bedazzling your thong for the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in Boston, Saturday, July 16th.
You're sneaking this in at the end of the thing, and there's no freaking way.
At the Wilbur Theater, Ticketmaster.com.
You can get Rob Reiner and his wife to invite me to Barbara Streisand's pool house anytime. I'm not doing it.
Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe. See you soon, honey.
Talk to you next week.
All right. There you go.
Well, I think once you get over the wargasm aspect of all this, maybe we should start thinking about restoring the Bill of Rights and getting rid of that damn Patriot Act. You know,
yes.
It's not. You know what's not going to come a moment too soon for me? My halgasm tomorrow, when I will continue my wargasm. I don't care what Jim says.
Well, we also need to get Congress to start declaring war again when it's necessary, not just go in willy-nilly to countries and invade.
Well, not declare war willy-nilly either.
Well, I know, it should be harder to declare war
in
than
the absence,
it is now.
Before House Barks tomorrow, guess what I'm going to do after the break, Chris?
What?
It's my other, fellow Happy Clappy. I'm going to play a Randy Rhoads drop from her show yesterday as a tutorial for me in how to do radio and for you in how to deal with your right-wing friends. It
Will,
is
will there be a time
check? Oh, you know it.
Yes!
47 after. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, which I know is no Randy Rhoads show, but it's the best I can do. She's my fellow Happy Clappy Hawa, and as you know, I hike every day and listen to the Hawa. With my doggies, and I just, you have to hear this to go, this is, well, a tutorial for me in how to do radio, number one, and number two, for how you talk to your right-wing friends and relatives, because she just bitch-slapped this guy into the middle of the next election cycle.
Yeah.
It was a right-winger. Here we go.
You know, when Bush took, I think 9/11 surprised him more than anybody. I think he was focused on other things, and our intelligence was not what it is now. And
are you kidding me? He had a presidential daily briefing.
Isn't it a fact, Dr. Rice, that the August 6th PDB warned against possible attacks in this country? And I ask you whether you recall the title of that PDB?
I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States. The PDB, no, Mr. Benveniston, I would like to finish my point here.
I didn't know there was a point. I just asked you what the name of the presidential daily briefing on August 6, 2001 was, just a month ahead of the September 11, 2001 attack. Well, I believe it was called Osama bin Laden Determined to Strike Within the United States. Our intelligence wasn't good. Our intelligence was spot on. Tentil.
Tentil. What happened to AFTA? Shut up, it was Tentil. You're supposed to vote 3 AFTA.
50 AFTA. It's implied. It was an implied AFTA.
Anyway.
10 minutes till the after.
Come on, you gotta.
She's awesome.
I love that. Yeah, you know, our intelligence, it wasn't what it is now. It's like, what? It was, I mean, they literally, you remember in that briefing, it said buildings like the World Trade Center.
Yeah, I don't How think much it more said specific? That in the
it did.
Particular briefing. But,
it did. It said determined to attack and talked about specific targets that might be targeted. In anyway, yeah, I mean.
But it was well known, well, because the World Trade Center had been attacked before,
right.
that was, they were clearly on the list.
By Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, just hilarious. All right, Jim, yes, it will be. So if you're just an ordinary terrorist without billions of dollars in extraordinary protection, think how short a time it might take us to find and kill you. Maybe it's time for you to retire before the United States retires you.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Milton Friedman.
No. I didn't know. Actually, the Politico, this one, I don't know who it is. Okay. It's on Politico, though. I hope the killing of bin Laden proves to our military planners that vast wars are not necessary to remove evil leaders. And I have written before, sometimes we all need, all we need is a small, superbly trained teams like the Navy SEALs and not multi-billion dollar invasions that risk great numbers of U.S. and civilian lives. Who said that?
Milton Bradley.
No. Politico this morning.
All
right. Who said this was not an attack on Islam? It was an attack on a man who corrupted Islam and used it shamefully as an excuse for mass murder. America went wild. College kids got drunk on a moment's notice and still somehow managed to find large American flags. And I found it weirdly touching that some of them sang "Na Na Hey Hey, Kiss 'em Goodbye" at the top of their lungs outside the White House on Sunday night, a song that we used to sing at Comiskey Park in my youth. If Obama, a White Sox fan, heard it inside, I'm sure he appreciated it. Who said that?
Milton Berle.
No, not Amy Milton. Politico tonight. All right, the president yesterday.
This is a good day for America. Our country has kept its commitment to see that justice is done.
Yeah, and we'll get into the whole inside the Situation Room because it's kind of a cool story.
Yeah, it is.
How the whole thing went down in just a little bit. Let's go to Bill in Chicago in the meantime. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hello.
So if Bush is responsible for bin Laden's death, does that mean that Clinton wasn't responsible for 9/11?
No, you have to keep up. It was Clinton 9/11, Jim, as you know.
caused by Bill Clinton.
Yes.
Right.
George Bush inherited the Clinton-Gore recession.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then?
And President Lincoln started slavery.
Yes.
That would stand to reason.
To our
sure.
friends on the right. Okay. Hmm. Let's go to Jessica in Chicago. Hi, Jazz.
Yeah.
Hello, Jessica.
Yeah, here I am. I'm sorry. I had to turn off the speakerphone. Okay. So not to break into the flow of all the war and bin Laden stuff, but here we go.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I have really super detailed dreams. I mean, I can dream about the colors, what buttons look like. I invent stuff.
Mm.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. You know, I wake up and go, oh, that was cool. And I go, wait, I did that.
All right.
You know, but okay, so that being said, last night when I thought I'm going to dream about all this stuff, I dreamed that you and I were walking down the street. And I ask you, Stephanie, what's a hollaback girl?
Oh, boy. You know what? I'm going to have to give you a $50 Profiles gift certificate because that's just weird. All right. There you go. Hang on. Just give her. That's just odd.
That's weird.
Oh, a hollaback girl. That's a girl that you can call in the middle of the night for sex and she'll, you know.
It's a booty
or,
call.
Yes,
yeah,
a booty call.
Your order uses a human shield.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
A woman that ends up as a human shield. Thank you, Jim.
Not a very successful human shield at that. Because she survived him.
In case you missed the big news this morning, Jim had to fire his human shield this morning.
I had to fire my human shield because she was falling down on the job. Because you see, that's sort of the point.
I didn't hear that enough. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love those right wing flashbacks, don't you? Right wing world coming up in a minute. The right-wing attack on Obama's crazy, frightening Pakistan terrorism policy. Boo! Yeah. Boo! Remember they kept trying to say he said he was going to invade Pakistan? He was actually very clear. He said, no, if we don't get their cooperation, we're going to go in and take bin Laden out, which is what he did. Yep. Hey, Jim, who said all this was made possible by the relentless, sustained pressure on al-Qaeda that the Bush administration initiated after 9/11? Who said?
Ted Kennedy.
No. Cheese and crackers, that was Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, my goodness gracious. My stars and garters.
He also noted that...
Let's just take the cake.
He also noted that interrogations of suspected terrorists at Gitmo, something he supported, may have played an essential role.
Oh, sure.
Yes. However, the information obtained was by standard interrogation, not under waterboarding, according to CIA officials. So there. Mwah. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Boy Voice, Deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, get your tickets for Sexy Liberal Show, for God's sakes, people. They're flying out the door for May 14th is our next one in Syracuse, New York. We are benefiting the marriage equality folks there. Raleigh-Durham, oh, we're picking an awesome animal charity in Raleigh-Durham. Saturday, June 1st. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. With many, many more dates to come. Go to Facebook.com/sexyliberal. Oh, and we're going to have a website, or maybe it's already up. I don't know. No one tells me anything.
Yeah, I haven't been notified of a website
being
up yet.
There will be, though.
There will be.
Yes, and we're on Twitter.
Yes, we are, at sexyliberal.
All right, Susan writes, Steph, it was a Chicago-style hit, a shot to the head and a dump the body in the drink. Yep. Have someone said that yet? Jim, I didn't know this. Julie says, Steph, guess who else died on April 30th? Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
How weird is that?
I mentioned that yesterday.
I don't listen to you.
I know you don't.
Are you here every day?
What? Who are you?
Jeff in Iowa writes, Steph, Sunday night's events proved that President Obama is a master of perfect timing. I'm not referring to the fact this occurred 8 years to the day after President Bush declared mission accomplished in Iraq, or that this happened right after Donald Trump has been questioning his fitness for office and suggesting he's not tough enough.
Jiminy Christmas.
But when news of this was released to the press, what TV show did NBC interrupt to carry the president's address to the nation? The Apprentice.
That's huge.
T and then a E.
Huge.
And Stephanie, guess what movie I was watching on cable when I heard the news about bin Laden? The American President. Oh, thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
Don't play the sand drop again.
I'm not going to.
I think we all know it. Don't play any drop again.
But clearly, it has just been proven that these are serious times, and we need...
people to eat sand.
Serious. No, that's a different drop. Different serious people to solve them. Serious something. All right. Oh, Larry with a suggestion. Mondays with Maddow. He would like us to get on that.
She's not busy.
No, I'm sure
not
she'll
at all.
Do it.
We waited 7 years to get her on this show.
Sure, she'll... Yeah.
I'm sure she'd like to paint the pens for free.
Sure, she'll get groped.
We'll pull up a chair right next to Edie McGuire.
Fly up here to... sit in our crowded little studio.
Oh, the other news story of the weekend. I got a lot of these, Chris. Liz writes, Steph, is it me? I think if you put Kate Middleton in an armpit-stained purple sweater, give her some bangs and a mercury glow from too much sushi, you got the dead ringer for Stephanie Miller.
I've heard that a few times.
Except Tommy said like a thousand years younger and with boobs. Bastard people.
She does have Kate Middleton does have a nice rack.
Her sister Pippa has an even better one.
Yes,
Jim.
In that green dress.
Mm. All right, let's dive into the right wing world. See what's doing. Shall
I mentioned I'm half British.
Oh boy. Okay, Steve Hayes on the Britmer.
If you go back, though, there may be some irony. If the original seeds of this intelligence trail did, in fact, come from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or Alivi or Qahtani, one of the detainees who had been subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques, you have the germ of what we came to know as this intelligence trail coming from the very practices that Barack Obama ran against so strongly in 2008 and has condemned repeatedly as president.
Mm-hmm.
It came from standard operating procedures that the FBI has been using for years. Get people to want to tell the truth instead of torturing them, and they'll say
By the
anything
way,
to make you stop doing that.
That last that call I played on the Randy Rhodes show, don't you think the Bush administration owes our intelligence agencies a big apology,
yes.
by the way?
I don't believe in intelligence.
Like she said, that was spot on, yes. the intelligence before 9/11. They ignored it.
Yes,
it is. He was on vacation,
yep.
you know, and then...
Now you covered your ass.
Exactly. They had no meetings. Remember, Richard Clark said your number one priority should be Osama bin Laden. They had no meetings on this.
They were
before.
So focused on Saddam Hussein. That
Right. Yeah. And then they tried to say, oh, the intelligence was wrong. No. Apologize to the intelligence community. It wasn't wrong. You twisted and cherry-picked it and now lied.
Yep.
I mean, it's all right. Rush Limbaugh.
Look at it this way, folks. All this story about Obama being a shoo-in for re-election. If he was a shoo-in for re-election, Osama bin Laden would still be alive today. There would have been no need to undertake the mission.
What?
And Donald Trump would not have had any jokes told about him on Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner if Obama were such a shoo-in. Mm. But he's not.
You know, I thought yesterday would be a tough show for him to do, and it was, as it turns out. Did he rehearse? What the hell?
I think he's had too much oxygen.
If he had hypothetically...
This is bad for Obama.
It's terrible. I've got nothing.
It wouldn't have had to. This was a desperate bid for re-election is what this was, my friends.
That's what he was twisting it into. That's exactly what he was twisting it into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because, right. You know, nothing could possibly have gone wrong with this thing.
No.
Not at all.
No. You would anything to be a fly on the wall inside his compound when this news came out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to need a lot more oxycontin for tomorrow's show, my friends. This is mad.
And maybe even some off-market Viagra.
Yeah. Maybe he might move out of his compound, too, because compounds are not safe places to be.
No. Especially with Navy SEALs nearby.
And I don't know that this new wife would have quite the commitment of Obama. Bin Laden's human shield.
Plus, she'd have to be pretty large to be a human shield
large.
For Limbaugh.
Oh,
wow.
God.
He'd need five or six of them.
He'd need all of his wives. He'd need all of his ex-wives.
He'd need all his ex-wives to even have a chance. It'd be like a game of Red Rover.
It'd be like the wall in soccer when a free kick.
Oh, God.
You need a little more meat on her bones.
Yeah.
His current
eat up! Eat up! Come on, you're too fat.
He's fattening her up right now as we speak.
He's Mrs. Santa Claus.
Yes.
Eat Mama, eat! Nobody likes a skinny.
No one likes a skinny Mrs. Limbaugh. You
like
need
a
to be a
human
shield. Oh, we're cracking ourselves up this morning. Okay, O'Reilly.
On Saturday night, I talked to Leon Panetta, the CIA chief. Now, Panetta, I got to tell you, he was, you know, at the correspondence dinner. He's having a good time. He's this and that. He's yucking it up with me. I've known him forever. These guys are the best actors of all time. The president gets up there, does a little monologue, and he's making fun of everybody. He's having a great old time. And you would never know.
Yes.
Never know that the operation was scheduled for that day, Saturday. I mean, these guys were unbelievable actors.
Can you imagine if a giant blowhard like you was president? Hey, everybody, I'm going to be killing bin Laden tomorrow.
Did O'Reilly expect Panetta and Obama to tell him personally?
I mean, if they didn't on the facts.
I think he was complimenting them, actually.
Yeah, I think he was.
In a backhanded way.
You just want to be on the side that's winning.
All right, Britt Hume on O'Reilly.
He might get a significant bump in the polls, much as President Bush, 41, got a big boost in the polls, you may recall, after the successful conclusion of the Gulf War, which was a bigger undertaking in terms of the number of troops, in terms of the potential for failure, in terms of all that went into it, and it was a big rout. It lasted about 4 or 5 days. It was a huge deal, and he looked politically invincible. However, the bump from that faded in the face of conditions the people of the country found disagreeable, the economy and so on. And I suspect that whatever boost the president gets out of this will prove temporary as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're hoping, aren't you?
Yeah, he is hoping.
Now, only when there's a Democrat in the White House could this be no big deal. Can you imagine if Bush got him? It would 24-7. President George W. Bush, who just killed bin Laden. President George Bush, killer of bin Laden. He'd been
depicted as a saint.
24-7. It would have been in the Chiron permanently. All right. Hannity.
George Bush, President Bush, 43, spent the better part of his presidency looking for him and trying to find him.
Yeah.
If it turns out that, in fact, it was, you know, enhanced interrogation techniques or rendition in Poland or Romania was something that I've heard. All right. So if it was interrogation techniques, because we always had the means to get bin Laden.
Right.
In other words, we knew where he was.
Right.
But we needed the intelligence to confirm that.
Right.
Does this now bring this debate back to the forefront?
No.
Not at all.
He's hoping. Nice try. Somebody got the talking point before it was revealed by the CIA that this came from normal interrogation, not from waterboarding.
Wow. But could it be that they thought they were doing normal interrogation?
You can hear the hope in Hannity's voice.
That they're really being tortured in their spare time.
The desperate hope.
Just like for Hume. George Bush Sr. got a big mumble, but that was temporary. Thank you.
He
and Limbaugh did sound the same. They sound a little stumbly.
I'm sure. He's a half Negro.
I've got to go feed my wife. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Oh boy.
No.
Let's get some fattening human shield food up in here.
Nobody likes a skinny human shield.
No. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Weirdest
video
ever.
The world is safer. It is a better place because of the death of Osama bin Laden.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Sleep better on organic cotton, wool, and feather-free bedding. That's hypoallergenic and cruelty-free. Visit nofeathersplease.com, where many products are made here in the USA from U.S. materials.
Hooray.
Yay!
Hey.
Hooray for the USA. America. Yeah.
And hooray for the Stephanie Miller hourly sponsors.
Thank you. You can find out how to do that at stephaniemiller.com. Or you can email me like Lawrence did. Steph, from the stories I've read about Obama's house, it had computers but no internets. The computers may have been used primarily for word processing, like the computer I used for the longest time.
Yeah.
And may have been out of date. This raises the possibility that he kept track of holy days in the beginning and end of Ramadan with a paper calendar. Like Mama. Something I had in common with the... See, he doesn't have a computer to have his little thing. He has a paper calendar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you hear about the new Osama bin Laden cocktail?
No.
Two shots and a splash.
Ladies and gentlemen, never too early for that. Okay. Wow, yes, the White House says the compound that housed bin Laden Jim was extraordinarily unique. It was 8 times larger than other homes in the area.
Yeah.
Curious that. And it drew no attention in the middle of the Pakistani military, retired military area.
I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
I'm sure it is. yes, Pakistani...
It's the only place you could afford to buy, I think that was.
Yeah.
The schools were, you know...
Yeah, schools were good.
Were good, so yeah.
Casey had a kid with his new human shield wife. Okay, here's some of the fun facts. Pakistani intelligence agencies, normally very sharp in sniffing out the presence of foreigners in small cities, so... Again, maybe it just happened to be their version of the Hogan's Heroes, Sergeant Schultz, that lived.
Hogan?
Maybe he saw nothing. Maybe he saw nothing.
Yes, I see nothing.
Less than 35 miles from the capital, you know, Islamabad.
Right.
Carl Levin, as we played earlier, said that Pakistan has some splendor to do.
Yeah, they do.
Senator Susan Collins, Esmeralda, said, I think this Senator Ghostly of the great state of Maine said, I think this tells us once again that unfortunately Pakistan... is at times playing a double game.
You think? Yeah, we have that.
We do.
I think this tells us once again that unfortunately Pakistan at times is playing a double game, and that's very troubling to me.
I would ask the ISI.
And she threatened to call Dr. Bombay.
Dr. Bombay.
Turn them into a toad.
Yeah.
A senior Pakistani official dismissed speculation that he was being protected. We don't explain it. We just did not know. Period.
Right. And to him I say, Urdu, you think you're fooling? Urdu, you think you're fooling?
I get it.
Language.
Like Representative Adam Smith said earlier on the show today, we don't trust them, but we need to work with them.
Yes.
Which is kind of... Yes. A little bit troubling.
Well, it's kind of like our relationship to the Soviet Union during World War II.
Yeah. Well, it does look like we're moving closer to their position of negotiating with the Taliban or at least trying to find a political solution in Afghanistan. And I think at this point, most Americans, anything that gets us out of Afghanistan
absolutely.
Is probably a good idea. John Brennan, the...
I think it's inconceivable that bin Laden did not have a support system in the country that allowed him to remain there for an extended period of time.
Yeah. Seems weird, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in the early days of his career, his support system was the CIA, but that's not important.
Right? No, not at all.
David Schuster was telling us this earlier, but skip to 15, John Brennan talking about video evidence. He was speculating.
We are going to do everything we can to make sure that nobody has any basis to try to deny that we got Osama bin Laden. And so, therefore, the releasing of information, and whether that includes photographs, this is something to be determined.
I think that's why dumping him overboard so quickly was a mistake.
Well,
Jim, I don't think John.
You can consider him John all you want.
Yeah, well, John Brennan was the sound bite.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I meant.
No, okay. But I mean, it just looks weird. I would think, you know, maybe have time for an autopsy, have a look at the kidneys.
Well,
you know,
according to Islamic law, you are not to cut up the body after it's dead.
Well,
so
yeah, but they don't really respect Islamic law because he's not supposed to be buried at sea either.
Would you like the fun facts of this? U.S. officials are balancing skepticism with the sensitivities that might be inflamed by showing images of what they say of the dead al-Qaeda leader and video of his burial at sea. But as David Schuster told us earlier, it seems more likely that that is going to, they are going to release
they're
that.
They're going to have to do that.
You remember we took heat when they George Bush touted out the, you know, Saddam Hussein's two sons, you know.
Uday and Qusay.
Yeah. And didn't he also ask for Osama bin Laden's head on a spike? Didn't he ask for dry ice to put it in a box or at some point? Mm. That might seem a little bloodthirsty is all I'm saying. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. I'm not done yet. The Human Shield yelled out his name apparently also during the raid.
You yelled out some other guy's name while you're shielding me.
Yeah, isn't that the first thing you learn in Human Shield class?
Don't yell out the actual name.
Look out, Osama. I'm Fred. Tim. His CIA name was Tim Osman. He should have called it Tim.
Shecky.
No one would have seen
Shecky.
Shaky, look out!
didn't they
it's
of this
not
in
the
advance?
Pizza guy!
Didn't
it's a
they
trap.
Have a fake name that she's supposed to yell out in case of a raid?
A like word. A safe word.
Mizrahi!
Yes, shouldn't she be
Mizrahi
yelling
bin Laden.
It might be funnier, though, if it was another terrorist she'd slept with. You know, right. Al Zawahiri!
You are going to get
you.
It.
You. Oops, you just did. 20. Too late. 29 minutes after the hour. Kevin Nealon next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Because lesbianism means that I am a dyke against the rising waters of mediocrity.
Good for you,
Stephanie Miller.
I hate you. It is
what?
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Well, how dare you?
Good news for the
I do the backstroke in mediocrity every day.
Uh-huh. Yes. And in lesbianism.
Mike writes, the 2012 debates will be very short. Yes. Yeah. Say, well, I killed Obama, and you didn't. I know you are, but what I am, what am I?
And I fired Gary Busey.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Exactly. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, we're joined by one of our favorite comedy pals, Kevin Nealon. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Hi, Stephanie, how are you?
Good. So good. So good to talk to you.
Thank you.
What? Now, tell me, first of all, you're doing a comedy benefit with Dana Carvey coming up, correct?
I am. I'm doing it with Dana Carvey and Billy Gardell and Christopher Titus.
And it's Saturday, May 7th at the Alex Theater in Glendale out here in L.A., correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And we have a link up to that right on StephanieMiller.com on how to get the tickets.
That's correct.
And it's benefiting abused and at-risk children. What? Tell us about Olive Crest.
Well, Olive Crest, it's a place that transforms the lives of at-risk children through the family, you know, by providing like a full, you know, outlet of services that helps these kids, you know, that they need. And all the proceeds will go to support Olive Crest programs in the Los Angeles area.
Oh, awesome. Now, and by the way, you know, last time I ran into you, I was telling you how much I love Weeds that you're on. It's starting the seventh season, right? June 27th. I love that show. You're just hilarious.
I like that. I'm in the middle of a private investigation here as almost, I feel like Doug Wilson. Somebody stole my cell phone.
Uh-oh.
And it has the GPS locator on it, so I see where it is.
Oh, that's got to be frustrating.
So now I just have to go and wait by the person's house and wait for them to come out, I guess. I'm not sure what the next step is.
Well, you need to get some Navy SEALs with you.
Right.
That's what you need.
Oh, that's
what I need.
You need a helicopter?
I could use a couple of helicopters, and if not Navy SEALs, then maybe a local Boy Scout troop.
Yeah.
Kevin, you know, we've been obviously talking all morning, and doesn't it remind you of, you know, whether it's the OJ or whatever, it's you know, it's the circus around this whole Bin Laden thing that becomes funny, doesn't it?
You know, you're right. It really is. It really is. There's so much fallout from that media-wise and comedically, I guess.
Yeah. Well, as you know, he was a B-52s fan. I don't know if you knew that, but he's now between a rock and a lobster, which I think... You feel free to use any of these, by the way.
No, thank you.
Not a fan of the bombers, but...
No. Feel free to use any of these at your comedy benefit.
I think the biggest fallout's going to be from Trump.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. How even more hilarious does the White House Correspondents' Dinner become when you know that the president knew what he was doing when he was making, you know, jokes about Trump's biggest decision being whether to fire Busey or Meatloaf?
Yeah. And I wonder if he even knew who those people were.
Yeah, exactly. Just had good writers. I have to say, coming from Saturday Night Live, when you look at, you know, the last Sarah Palin sketches and all that, I mean, the Trump stuff, sometimes this stuff really just writes itself, right?
Well, they say that sometimes it writes itself, but if you actually wait for it to write itself, you'll be looking at a blank.
You'll be standing there blinking.
Yeah. But I kind of know what it's like when the president has a speechwriter and has to write jokes for him, and sometimes he doesn't know what it means. Because I've done some corporate gigs before where they have an in-house writer and they're writing jokes about certain executives or certain, you know, products that they have, and I have no idea what I'm saying, and people are just laughing and laughing.
Like, look at all the research Kevin Nealon did. Look how much he cares about us.
I know.
We've really integrated our core strategies. What does that mean?
That's right.
And there's executives. Kevin Nealon knows who I am. No, he doesn't, you idiot. Someone wrote it for him. How are you feeling about the, you know, political season? Because it really, I mean, it has some of the most comedic and some of the most disturbing elements in my history, anyway.
Well, this is true. It's... I don't think there's anything more funny than politics. I mean, Saturday Night Live has its best years when there's ever an election. You know, I mean, it provides so much fodder for them. And this year is really, I mean, this coming election is really shaping up to be nice. You know, we have the residual of Sarah Palin. We have the new Trump dynamic. And we have the whole Bin Laden thing. And you know, you tie that all in with the royal wedding, and you got a nice little political soup there.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of a surreal news cycle, this last one, wasn't it?
It really was. I like to go on Twitter, and I was reading a lot of the Twitters about the Bin Laden thing, and you know, I include some myself. And my big thing was I was interested about all the people that were out in front of the White House the other night, and I guess they were waiting for Michelle and Barack to kiss on the balcony.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was thinking of your character Subliminal Man when I had to watch the Republicans making statements about, you know, congratulating the president on Bin Laden.
Oh, how painful that must have been.
What were they thinking? Yeah.
Hot sex.
Lucky break.
Gavin Neal, and the insight is insightyouthproject.org, but we have a link up at stephaniemiller.com.
And you can go to kevinneeland.com as well.
All right. Have a great show. Kevin, great to talk to you.
Thanks, you guys. Nice talking to you.
All right. There he goes.
And Kevin Neal headlined at the UCLA Comedy Club when I was a member of that.
What?
Back in the 80s, but this is before SNL.
Back when you were living with Daphne Zuniga?
I'm speaking at my alma mater this Saturday. I almost forgot. I just checked my paper calendar because it just became May. I'm just speaking to the gay utes, the gay graduates at USC.
Are you?
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes. I'm visiting my old Trojan friends back in the thing.
Trojan man.
Yep. Exactly. Oh, by the way, I have six new future husbands, and that is, of course, the Team Six. Team Six. Yeah, Jim, remember the President Bush used to have all those really macho-sounding military
Operation
missions?
Commando Eagle. It's an eagle without underpants.
Yeah, there was that one. Commando Eagle was an actual.
Yeah.
Because they had to sound macho because they were completely ineffective and oftentimes disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we had to have a macho name for this one because it just was effective. I don't know what they called it.
Operation
Kick-Ass.
All right, maybe it's that old thing, Operation Chill Out, mother. I got this.
Yeah,
that makes
mm-hmm.
more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I love how Obama went from Professor in Chief to Badass in Chief.
He's got a PhD in Badass.
That's right.
All right. Let me give you the. I love this. So, because you know me, not a gadget girl really, but I mean this whole thing kind of cool. Give us our cool music. Yeah, with the CIA and the White House monitoring the situation in real time. Can you imagine? It's a little tense.
Yeah.
Presumably by live satellite feed or a video carried by the SEALs. They're watching in live as they storm the compound. I mean, this really is like right
greatest
out of Mission.
Reality TV show ever.
Well, there's that picture that was published yesterday of everyone watching it on the TVs in the Situation Room, and you could just see
Hillary's
the stress
like
on her
mouth.
On Hillary's face. Yeah. That's an amazing
photo.
She
was wearing white socks, too. I think she went comfy. I don't know. I was like, what is that? What does she wear?
I mean, it's because Obama's a White Sox fan, so.
Oh, maybe. Yes. Yeah. Wasn't she wearing, like, white socks and loafers?
I wasn't looking at the socks and loafers.
Really? That's
no.
what I focused on.
No. Why?
Okay.
It wasn't a fashion show.
Yeah. Well,
All right. So for 40 minutes, the president and his senior aides could do nothing but watch the video screens and listen to the operation ensuing firefight on the other side of the world. At Obama's orders, special operations teams were invading the airspace of a foreign country, targeting a compound with unknown occupants and hoping to get out unscathed. The target, of course, now America's number one enemy, Osama bin Laden. No one knew for sure, though, that he was actually there. I think they said the case was good but circumstantial, between 50% and 80%. Not a slam dunk.
Right.
I love this. The president sat stone-faced through much of the events. In modern age, presidents can experience their own military actions like a video game, except that they have no control over the events.
Oh, my God.
You're in Angry Birds, and you have no slingshots, nothing. You can't. You've got no pigs. You're just watching someone else play a video game.
No, you're looking at someone else attacking the pigs. You've never played Angry Birds, have you?
Yes, I have. Hal Sparks made me play it.
Once. Okay.
Anyway. We've ID'd Geronimo. That's what they said! Because that's his name. That's his
code name.
Yes.
Yeah.
See? Why didn't the Human Shield have a code name? Why didn't she yell out, "Oh, Bin Laden"? See what I'm saying?
We've ID'd Geronimo.
I just love this game. Said a disembodied voice using the agreed-upon code name for America's most wanted enemy. Word then came that Geronimo had been killed. Only when the last helicopter lifted off some minutes later did the president know that his forces had sustained no casualties. The decision had been made to attack, obviously, days earlier. The whole thing came off as amazing. Any leak would have ruined it. Okay. Obama went around the table, by the way, asking everyone to state their opinion. He quizzed the staff about worst-case scenarios, possibilities of civilian casualties, hostage situation, diplomatic blow up with Pakistan, a downed helicopter.
Wow.
He was presented with three options: wait to gather more intelligence, attack with targeted bombs from the air, or go in on the ground with troops. The room was divided about 50-50. According to a person in the room. In the end, about half of the senior aides supported a helicopter assault. The other half said wait or strike from above. Obama left the meeting without signaling his intent. He wanted to sleep on it at about 8 a.m. Friday. I wonder if Michelle leaned over and went, "What you thinking about?"
You don't want to know.
On Friday, before he boarded a helicopter to go to Alabama, Obama called his senior aides into the diplomatic room. He told me his decision, a helicopter assault. He was putting his presidency in the hands of history.
Yep.
And
wow. And it couldn't have gone better.
Yeah.
even with a downed helicopter.
Yeah, and that happened, too. I can't believe that. No one was hurt, but one helicopter went down. They still don't know why.
Yeah.
But I guess they were already out of it and into the compound. Or
and they had to destroy the helicopter before they got out of there so that the other side wouldn't get at it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I got to find my cool... I'm not a gadget person. Jim, I got to tell you all the cool boy gadgets the Navy SEALs had.
Mm.
All six.
I'm sure Hal has half of them.
Yeah. Hal Sparks will have all of them. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Get right on that. I just need to take a nap first.
Okay. All right. Sorry. 50 minutes after the hour. Don't forget tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal Sparks, sexy liberal.
Yeah.
And also Larry Flint. Also.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh, okay.
Hal Sparks and Larry Flint.
It's a show.
Larry Flint has a new political book out.
It's a sexy liberal show. Mm-hmm. Okay. John Brennan, a counterterrorism advisor at the
White House. It was probably one of the most anxiety-filled periods of time, I think, in the lives of the people who were assembled here yesterday.
Yeah, they're talking about the Situation Room. Yeah. Okay, here's the cool boy gadgets they had.
I thought he was talking about March Madness, but...
I'm guessing we'll ask Hal Sparks, but he probably has every one of them.
Yeah.
I bet you he'll come here on an MH-60 helicopter. That's the helicopters they flew.
Yeah, he parks it in the parking garage every Wednesday.
Yeah. Mm. The Navy SEALs aboard, of course, they had tactical signals, intelligence collectors, navigators using highly classified hyperspectral imagers. What is that? What's a hypo? I don't know what it is.
It's much better than the hypospectral.
Yeah, I had one of those once. Piece of crap. How did the helicopters elude the Pakistani Air Defense Network, they're asking? Did they spoof transponder codes? Were they painted and tricked out with Pakistani Air Force equipment? Lots of questions.
Mm-hmm. Very lovely.
Yeah. By the way, I love this. Again, anything to be a fly on the wall. Before announcing the news that Bin Laden had been killed, Obama called up former presidents Bill Clinton and George Bush.
Yeah.
Do you think George Bush did that thing where you act like you're really happy for someone?
Great. Yeah, it's great news. Dang it.
Good job.
I don't really care where he is. I don't care if he's dead. I don't think about it.
So I don't know where he is. I just don't spend that much time on him. I'll be honest with you. I'm...
It's like, you know, when you're not in a good place in your life and something really great happens to a friend, you're like, oh my God, so great!
That's
so great.
Great!
Oh my God!
That's really
great!
Terrific.
Great!
That's
you're wonderful. In love? Ah! Perfect!
No, that's only you that says it like that.
Shut up. Your voice just gets higher. Yeah. Oh my God, really good.
That's great! I'm really happy! Happy, happy, happy!
Daria in California.
So happy I could barf!
Hi, Daria, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine. Hey, Steph. Hey, Mook.
Hello.
I'm your biggest fan
out here.
I just called in to tell you that my daughter and I were cracking up all the way to school. I commute her 30 miles to school each way, and you guys keep us company all the way every day.
Aw.
And she's 11 years old, and she has come to start calling you the Durr people. She loves when you do impressions.
She likes Tea Party leader Kathy Durr.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties, stop being noodle back.
I have a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old, and they both just crack up every time. They're like, what does that mean, Mom? I'm like, I have no idea.
It doesn't matter. That's about our sweet spot. Now, I'm going to give you a $50 gift certificate of ProFlowers just for that, all right?
Fantastic.
For having
for my mom.
For having smart children. All right, hang on a second. Give us the ProFlowers. Thank you.
Do they come with noodle backs?
Noodle BX.
All right, John Brennan again.
So when that helicopter was seen to be unable to move, all of a sudden you had to go into Plan B. And they did it flawlessly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must have been a tense moment when the helicopter went, die! Doink.
Well, isn't that what happened
to the Carter?
Well,
thing? Oh, God, helicopter. Yeah, Black Hawk Down, like flashbacks,
well,
right?
Yeah. Well, they were afraid that it was going to turn into a Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
Well, this is before Black Hawk Down, well, the Carter thing.
No. I'm talking about this one. They thought they were afraid it was going to turn into a Black Hawk Down.
John Brennan.
The concern was that bin Laden would oppose any type of capture operation. Indeed, he did. It was a firefight. He therefore was killed in that firefight. If we had the opportunity to take him alive, we would have done that.
And the president said, as president of Munchkin City in the county and land of Oz, yes. I welcome you most regally, but we've got to verify it legally to see if she is morally, ethically,
yes.
spiritually, physically, positively, absolutely, undeniably, and for life, we dead.
Thank you. Okay, John Brennan.
Here is bin Laden, who has been calling for these attacks, living in this million-dollar-plus compound, living in an area that is far removed from the front, hiding behind women who were put in front of him as a shield. I think it really just speaks to just how false his narrative has been over the years.
Yeah.
Cha. By the way, Representative Peter King, of course, the first day congratulated the president. Now he's back to lying again. Representative Peter King of New York.
We obtained that information through waterboarding.
No, we did not.
And for those who say that waterboarding doesn't work, to say that it should be stopped and never used again, we got vital information which directly led us to bin Laden.
No.
Not from waterboarding.
No.
Just the opposite.
Says no.
Peter King ran running to O'Reilly last night whining that the president didn't tell him himself that this operation was going down.
Well, who cares what Peter King thinks?
Exactly. All right, the fun facts again. Officials produced a quick DNA match from his remains. They say established bin Laden's identity. He was also identified through photo comparisons. Other methods, tellingly, an Al-Qaeda spokesman in vowing revenge against America called him a martyr, offering no challenge to the U.S. account of his death. Jim was talking about the burial at sea.
Yep.
I do think, you know, again, they're saying the main reason is to... deny Al-Qaeda a burial shrine for their slain later. Though. Bin Laden had vanished, but this time at the hands of the U.S. and in a way that ensures he's gone forever.
Also, I'm getting a couple of emails from Muslim listeners who say that it's also to make sure that the body isn't dug up and desecrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But what they're saying is
the option wasn't leave the body there or dump it in the ocean. They should have, obviously they should have confiscated the body, but why get rid of it so quickly? That just looks strange.
Because probably they're doing this in a way that does not seem overly inflammatory, but I bet you they will release the photographs and video.
It may be necessary to release the pictures, as gruesome as they undoubtedly will be. So my own instinct is probably necessary to release those pictures.
But they were filming the entire time, so you can get maybe snapshots of bin Laden before he was shot as well. I mean,
screen caps.
Yes. Also expected to come out one more tape. Damn it, he made one.
He did.
One more tape out. He
but wait, there's more.
He was on a mission to beat Tony Horton of P90X. I will get one more out of it. Kills me. Ow, my eye.
You will have killer abs. I'm telling you, a killer.
He had an earache in his eye.
Got a headache in my eye. It's a little eye exam courtesy of the Navy SEALs. Better or worse now?
Better or worse?
Worse.
Better or worse?
Oh, that's worse. Much worse.
Oh, no, that's worse.
Oh, that's even worse.
Y'all are awful.
Listen, it's many long years of getting out all our, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, yesterday. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
You cannot wait us out. You cannot defeat us, but you can make the choice to abandon Al-Qaeda and participate in a peaceful political process.
Oh, a woman in a pantsuit? Nothing pisses me off more than bossy pants. Okay. All right. Well, Hillary getting a little macho, too.
She did.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
She told him to take off her lace panties.
Yeah.
And stop being noodlebags.
Wow, Rick Springfield got arrested for drunk driving?
Yep.
Did Jesse's girl have to bail him out? Just asking.
I wish I had Jesse's girl driving for me.
Oh, dear. D-Listed says they thought he got arrested for looking like a portrait of a female-to-male transsexual who works part-time as a Jesus Terry Hatcher impersonator.
Wow.
D-Listed.
That's more like Z-Listed.
right. That's it for us. Join us tomorrow for Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.